You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Have you ever been there? You say things like, "I'm done. It's time for something else." Sure you have. Everyone gets there. Burnout is the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual exhaustion of a person by way of prolonged and excessive stress. So, what do? Thankfully, God offers us a model from the prophet Elijah, who experienced the symptoms of burnout which left him underneath a broom tree. Join us this new year as we journey together in the best New Year's resolution of all, to be healthy and spiritually vitalized again.
Okay, good. Big cats win. Okay. New year. Good. All right. So we're in the middle of this teaching series called Burned Out. We're glad you're here. If you're a guest, welcome. If you're watching at home, hope all is well in your neighborhood. And as we've been processing our way through this, we've described burnout in this way. It's the physical, mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual exhaustion that comes by way of prolonged and excessive stress. So if you find yourself escaping to food, alcohol, online binging, so on and so forth, if you say, "I am just so tired, I'm done." If you find yourself cynical, sarcastic, and some of you are saying, "But that's my sense of humor, so maybe we'll go with more than regular." You know, you might be at a place of burnout in your life, or at least somewhere along the way, because burnout's a cycle. It starts with stress. Everybody has stress. Everybody's stress is just different. Could be health, could be wealth, could be job or kids or a busy schedule or what have you. But everybody has stress. And if it goes unmanaged, it leads you to a lack of balance in your life. You overwork and you underrest. You overspend and you undersave. There's all of these lack of balances that you can begin to have in your life, and that leaves you more cynical, sarcastic. You start to withdraw and isolate, and before you know it, you end up completely exhausted and burned out. And so we said there's some steps to help you, whether you're along the way to burnout or in a place of burnout. It starts with the most important one. You got to realize it. Hey, there's something in my life that just isn't healthy, and I need some help. It's time to step back, realize what's going on, take stock and make some changes. The second thing is to rest. And that's what we looked at last week. Elijah, most profound thing that happens in his life is he lays down underneath a broom tree and takes a long nap. And in the process, God feeds him holy hot cakes, helps him to rest, to recuperate. And at the end of it, we read this. It says, "And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food," say it with me, 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. Here's the thing, friends. When you're reading your Bible and you see the number 40, I want you to take highlighter pen, circle it, put little stars, because God's about to do something big. Anytime you find 40, you'll find a time of trial and testing that more often than not leads to transformation. Trial and testing that leads to transformation. We might think about Noah. We might think about Moses. We might think about Israel in the desert, or Jesus, who was being tempted by Satan. On the other side of the trial and the temptation comes transformation. And that's what God is preparing to do in Elijah's life. He's ready to do something big. So Elijah heads to Horeb. And I want you to realize Horeb is the same mountain as Mount Sinai, okay, the place that Moses receives the Ten Commandments. And for the first time in Elijah's life, in some time, I think we could say, he's not running from life, he's not running from God, rather he's running to God. See, because if God is going to be anywhere in all of the ancient world, if you're Elijah, you're going to go where? You're going to go to Mount Horeb, because that's where the commandments were given. Let's go. God, I want to meet with you, I want to see you, I want to hear you, I want to know your voice. And I think Elijah believed with all of his heart that if he was going to find God and reconnect with God, Horeb was the spot. Now, here's the thing. I wonder how often when we're facing trial, temptation, struggle in our life, when we're at a place of burnout or well along the way, how often do we check out of our life with God rather than into our life with God? Are you with me? So things get hard, it gets messy, it gets difficult. You wonder, God, where are you? And what's our tendency to start making all kinds of plans? Well, here's what I need to do, and this is what I need to fix, and I'm going to do this, and I'm gonna check into this. And all along the way, we tend to miss God. Instead of running to God, maybe more often than not, our tendency is to run from God. And I wonder if we just think, you know, I'm just too busy, I got other things to do. Or maybe God has bigger things to deal with than my problem or struggle or issue or lack of balance. Or maybe we go, God, that's just kind of beyond your reach. And I wonder, friends, if we've just kind of missed the boat. Do you think God ever says, I'm completely perplexed, I have no idea what to do with that? That's a new one. The kids, they just keep throwing me for these twists and turns. Of course not. God's been there. And in his providence, God already knows what's coming down the road. So if you want wisdom or strength or whatever it might be, who's the source? Well, God's the source. And so in the midst of the trial and the temptation, it's time to check into our spiritual life rather than out of that spiritual life. And that's at the heart of today, step three, after realizing it and resting. Step three is all about recharging. Now we move toward God, toward vitality, and toward our purpose. And here's what I want you to realize. As strong and powerful and mighty as you are, your strength is about as big as a AA rechargeable battery. It only goes so far. It only goes so far. And if you want to create stress in your life, watch what happens when your iPhone or Android battery gets down to 10%. I got to make all my calls. I got to get this text in. Or it's like your kids' toys. They're playing with it in the middle of the floor, you know. And how many people know the next 1.2 milliseconds, there's a cry on the other end of that thing when the battery stops? And that's how it works. It runs out at the most inopportune time because it hasn't been charged up. Or maybe you put your key in the ignition and there's that terrible click and nothing happens and your day just got ruined. And what's happened along the way? There's never been a moment to recharge, to recognize how finite we are and how infinite God is, how small our resources are, and how great God's are. That he's the author of our life. He's the source of our strength. Not what we've got. And that's what Elijah figured out in our passage today. I'd love to read it for you. It's from 1 Kings chapter 19. We pick up the story and the scripture says, "There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He said, 'I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away.' And he said, 'Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by, and a strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He said, 'I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away.' And the Lord said to him, 'Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehaloah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall put Jehu to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So when Elijah journeys to Mount Horeb, this time of testing and trial that's going to lead to transformation, he's recognized his spiritual batteries, they were on empty. He stopped, he rested, he began to recharge, and now he's come to Horeb, the Mount of God, and there's this beautiful question that God asks Elijah, "What are you doing here?" I think it's kind of funny, to be honest with you, because it's not like God didn't know what he was doing there. I mean, do you think God went, "Didn't see that one coming"? That's a shocker. "What are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you here?" That's what he's asking. In other words, "I didn't call for you. This wasn't exactly part of the plan, Elijah. What are you doing here?" And notice how Elijah responds. He says, "I've been very jealous." Maybe a better way we could translate that is zealous with a Z. "I've had this eager fury for you, God. And here's the thing. These kids in Israel, these people, they've broken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars. They've killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, me, right here, God, this guy, I've been trying to do all of this, and I'm so burned out." Have you ever been there? You ever cried out like that to God? You know, I guess we could equate it to the spiritual temper tantrum. Yes? I think everybody has. "God, I've done all this stuff. I've come so far. I've done all these things. I've tried so hard, and I just feel like I'm not getting anywhere. And you know, I'm trying to defend you, and I'm trying to live for you, and I'm trying to do all these things, and I'm just so exhausted." I remember one time, you know, I had a spiritual temper tantrum right in the middle of a golf course. Because I'm seeking direction, and I'm not getting it. And my spiritual gift is not patience. I will just totally own that. And so I chuck my 5-iron down the fairway, and I yell, "Really? Come on!" And the grace is this. The grace is this. God answers. I very clearly heard God's voice. "Are you done yet?" Same thing happens with Elijah. The grace is that God responds. In the midst of the spiritual temper tantrum, God's grace is still very much present. In the time of testing and trial that leads to transformation, God is present. God has our attention. We've checked back into our spiritual life instead of running from it. Notice how he responds. The scripture says, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord passes by, and a great and strong wind tears the mountains and breaks in pieces the rocks, but the Lord's not in the wind. And then an earthquake, but the Lord's not in the earthquake. And after an earthquake, a fire, the Lord's not in the fire. And after this fire, the sound of a low whisper." And Elijah gets the same question. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" We would expect that God would show up in earthquakes and fires. And maybe that's the issue, isn't it? Because I wonder sometimes in our spiritual life with God, if we expect it to be like a mathematical formula. You know what I'm talking about? Like, "God, you do A and I do B and we end up with C." And yet God never seems to do the same thing the same way twice. Have you ever noticed this? I mean, sure, there's some patterns, there's some... But what if God wants to do something new? What if God were more interested in us wanting him than in us wanting certain outcomes? What if the issue weren't so much, "Hey, God, fix my problem," but God, let's fix whatever this is between you and me. What are you doing here, Elijah? And of course he knows, and the graces that God speaks. And what's been the issue in Elijah's life? The issue is that Elijah has lived a life of high stress, lack of balance, checking out, and now as he's checking back in, God has room and space to do something, an entirely new way in his life. Now, the issue isn't prophets to be defeated or kings to take on. The issue is, what does God want, and how would God fill my life and use me in a fresh and new way? And that's not how we tend to approach the spiritual life, is it? I mean, more often than not, it's kind of like, we're going to run a marathon for you, God. And we get to mile two, and what happens? Age. Sorry. I'm not a runner. So I'll make it a mile on sheer willpower. I can do that. It's not going to be fast, but I'll keep going. And what happens at mile two? I'm done. Like, are we going to go do breakfast now, or what are we doing? And the same's true in our life with God. I mean, if there's no recharging, if there's no recognition that we're just small and finite like that AA battery, if there's no inpouring and infilling of God's life into our life, it's like getting to mile two when there's a whole marathon ahead and we say, you know, I can't make it. And yet that's where God's grace meets us in the process. So often we want to do big things in our lives and we lose sight of our need for God's power in the process. Are you with me? And yet that's where God's grace meets us. Look at what God says to Elijah. He says, go and return to your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And here's the thing. I've got things for you to do. I want you to anoint a couple kings, and I want you to anoint and pour into a successor that's coming. I'm not finished with you, Elijah. You might have laid underneath a broom tree. You might have said to me, it's finished. I'm no better than my fathers. But here's the thing, Elijah. Checking back into your life, checking back into your relationship with me, I'm not done. I still want to work in you and through you for other people. I'm not finished. You know, I remember one time I was on a flight from Washington, D.C. Home, and it was overbooked. You ever been there in an airport in that moment? I mean, that is better, friends, than going to one of those big-time wrestling matches. Have you ever been to one of those? Which are fabulous, by the way. Because you watch just a sea of humanity and the way that they're going to interact with people. And people start trying to do all kinds of things and manipulate the situation and do stuff on their own strength. And it starts off very cordial. Oh, it'll be fine. And then you can figure out who might not get a ride home. And so they go to the ticket counter. And man, you want to talk about sacrificial offering in the life of ancient Israel. There is that person right then and there, because they are going to get the brunt of everybody's bad day, and it's not up to them. And I'm watching this guy who gets on one of the courtesy phones that goes to the airline, and he's beating the thing against the receiver, and all of the people are fearful, like, this guy is going to be on my ride home. Please, for the love of God, strand him here. And so another guy starts to peel off a couple of Benjamins and is trying to buy his way home, and that's how it works, isn't it? I want to get home. I expected a ride, and airports are well and good, but they're airports. And we're asking in the process, why am I here? And we miss the opportunity that maybe God, in this time of testing and trial, wants to bring about transformation. And instead of checking out, maybe even there in an airport, in a difficult situation, God wants us to check in and say, maybe that's not my plane ride. Maybe there's somebody for me to talk to. Maybe you just want to speak and pour into my life, and here in this place of rest that feels like a broom tree. You want to do something fresh and new in my life. What if a missed ride home were more like that than some kind of horrific experience? How do I do it, Brian? Well, here's some ideas for you. Read Scripture. You're like, we saw that one coming. Yeah, but do you do it? And do you pray? Take a walk with no headphones in. Do a get-to. How many of you this week did a get-to in your life? Good. A few of you, how did it feel? Good? Go hiking. Ride your bike. Be present with God. You know, I think sometimes, for men especially, being still for hours on end, that might not be your thing. As you can guess, probably I'm not good at that. But I can walk and pray or get on my treadmill and have a great chat with God. What about putting a meeting with God on your calendar in the middle of your day to recharge? Or journaling or reading or reflecting or meeting with a friend and being accountable and sharing, this is really what's going on in my life, or talking with a pastor or a counselor and sharing your heart and try to move from trial and testing into transformation. There's all kinds of moments and opportunities to recharge in your daily life. And God recharged and revitalized Elijah's life from I'm done to here's the next leg of your journey. And here's the thing, brothers and sisters. I wonder how well charged your battery is today. It's interesting. Sarah, Margaret, and I went this week to a bookstore. And we visited the Christian section. And it scared me to death what's in it. Because most of what's in there is high fructose corn syrup. And what I love about what John Wesley said a long time ago was he was a man of one book. You get in the Word, you get in prayer, you reconnect with God, you recharge your batteries, you seek to have a spiritual life. And I can't guarantee you, but I bet you more often than not, you'll avoid the burnout that takes your soul and can destroy your life. How about you? Where will you make space and make room for God to recharge your spiritual batteries this week? He's longing for that connection. Take the time, make the space, and do it. And watch the trial and testing you're walking through turn into a time of great transformation in your life. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. You're so good. You long to not just be Lord of our souls, but of our entire lives, of our calendars and our checkbooks, of our free time and our work time. God, we pray that you'd help us recognize just how finite today we are, that our strength only goes so far, that our battery runs no bigger than a double A, and we need you every day in our lives to fill us. And this is why we pray, give us this day our daily bread, God. We get that. But help us get it tomorrow morning. Help us start our day with you and be recharged by your Spirit throughout the day. Forgive us for the idol we make of busyness. And Lord, we pray that you would be Lord and Savior of all of our lives. Thank you for the story of Elijah, which shows us that even in a time of great trial and testing, even after he ran from you, as he ran toward you, you gave him grace, and you recharged him and renewed him for the journey. That's our prayer today, God. Give us today what we need for today. And as we rise tomorrow, help us to recharge and reconnect with you. Be Lord and Savior of all that we are, of all that we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You all are free to stand and worship with us.